And now, our speaker of the hour, Brother Ernest Lawls.
I consider it a privilege indeed to be able to come into your homes and speak with you for a few minutes on a subject that is very vital to each and every one of us. And I pray that as we study together, that you may take your Bibles and follow along with me, and that we may both learn together. In our present study, we will be discussing Christ and the judgment. Whether willing or unwilling, prepared or unprepared, we must all stand before Christ in judgment. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 11, 10 and 11, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 and 11, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Then Paul said, "Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Justice does not always prevail in this life and in this world. The wrongs and inequities of this earth are not always made right. But we are assured in the Bible that eventually right shall conquer wrong. Evil and evildoers will finally be put down and overcome. The great cause of right shall be one day be victorious. And so there is a great judgment day that is coming to one and all. Then before the whole world, the righteous will be vindicated and acquitted, and the wicked shall be exposed, condemned, and shown to be what they are. Yes, there is a great day coming. Even the angels who have sinned and fallen, God hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Jude verse 6. And so the judgment day will be a great day. The Bible calls it a great day of judgment. So, my friends, don't forget there is such a day. Speaking of a wicked city which would not hear nor receive the word of the apostles, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Matthew 10 and verse 15. To those who would not hear and follow Jesus, he said, "But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you." Matthew 11, 22. Verse 24 says, "But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." Again in Matthew 12 and verse 36. It says, "But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." Yes, my friends, there is a day of judgment. The Apostle Peter says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the ungodly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. The earth and ungodly men are to be punished at that day. "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men." 2 Peter 3 and verse 7. We need boldness in view of such a coming day. And in 1 John 4:17, the Apostle John said, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment." In God's mind, the day is appointed. Paul said, "God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness." Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. But you know, God only knows the time or when the day of judgment will come. No man, not even an angel, knows. Not even the Son of God knows the time. Jesus said, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36. Again, Jesus said, Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and of that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Mark chapter 13, verses 31 through 33. Now this being true, God has not revealed the time unto any man on earth, even to any inspired writer. No man can learn the time from Daniel, as some claim they can and have been proven wrong, or any other Old Testament writer. Jesus certainly knew all the Scriptures, and since He did not know the time, Mark 13, 31 through 33, no mere man like us can learn the secret from the Bible. There are some things which it is best for man not to know, and this is one of them. You know, if we knew the time, it would not come as a thief in the night. But the Bible says, and the Apostle Peter was inspired to write, But of that day and of that hour knoweth no man. He said, But the Son of Man cometh as a thief in the night. If the people of all centuries in the church age until now had known the time, they would also have known the time in which this day would not come, and hence would not have been motivated to watch and to be on guard concerning their faith and conduct. They would not have been motivated to get ready and stay ready, as we are motivated to do so. Certainly the Lord has not clearly revealed any certain time in the Scriptures. Some things are best kept as a secret with the Father. We are told in Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29, that the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So Jesus said unto His apostles, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. Acts 1, 6 and 7. The day of judgment will be when Jesus comes. Christ will be the judge, and the time will be when He comes again. God hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, and whereof He hath given assurance unto him under all men, in that He hath raised him from the dead. Acts 17:31. The resurrection of Christ is God's assurance that He will be our judge, and that there is a great judgment day coming. For it says, The Father then judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. John chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Therefore, we are told in 2 Corinthians 5 and 4 and verse 5, Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. Peter says of Christ, Him God raised up the third day, and showed Him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with Him after He rose from the dead. And He commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is He which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. Acts chapter 10, verses 40 through 42. This will be at His second coming, or appearing. Paul charged Timothy, saying, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1. Yes, we will be judged, both the living and the dead, at His coming. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according, he says, to my gospel. Romans chapter 2, verses 13 and 16. Then we are reminded in Romans 14, verse 10 through 12, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Verse 11 says, therefore, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. This judgment by Christ will be by his word, and will be at the last day. Christ said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. John 12 and verse 48. Not only will such a lost man be judged in the last day, but let us remember that the saints will also be raised at the last day. John 6, 39, 40, 44, and 45. John 11, 24. Hence, the general judgment will be at the last day, and will be when Jesus comes. So, my friends, it will be when Jesus comes that he will then gather all nations and separate them, the saved from the lost, and reward each according to his works. All will be gathered together instead of being separated by 1,000 years of an imaginary millennial reign of Christ. For the Bible says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through 34. After commending the righteous for their good works, we read, then shall the righteous answer him, and thereby asking him questions, verse 37 through 40. And then, not 1,000 years later, but then shall he say also unto them on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, verse 41. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now, in the 24th and 25th chapters of Matthew are one and the same speech of our Lord. His speech began in the first verse of chapter 24 and continued through chapter 25. Then he finished all these sayings, Matthew 26 and verse 1. God did not divide the Bible into chapters and verses. Men did this more than 1,000 years after the Bible was all written by inspiration, and it was done for the sake of convenience and the use of references and concordance and so forth. But in making some observations here, we note the 24th chapter begins with the disciples coming to him to show him the buildings of the temple. Verse 1, Jesus predicted that there shall not be left here one stone upon another. This shall not be thrown down. Verse 2. Later upon the mountain of Olives, they ask him, saying, tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world. Verse 3. He proceeded to give them the requested signs of when shall these things be. But he told them that only his Father knew the time of his coming and of the end of the world. Verse 36. And also in Matthew 24, and then in Mark 13, verse 31 through 37. Since the angels, and even the Son of Man, did not know when the time of his coming would be, of course then no sign would be given of this great event. But he did give signs of the destruction of the temple and of Jerusalem. Those signs were to be fulfilled in that generation, as it says, verse 34. They were to simply take his word for it that he would come at the end of the world without signs forecasting it. As far as man knows, this event was left as likely to occur at any time. It would be best for his disciples in every following century, even in this 20th, to be always watching and ready for his coming and the judgment. Now, while the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans in AD 70 was nigh and at hand, Paul denies that Christ's second coming was nigh or at hand. Read 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1 through 15. The man of sin of these verses would have to arise during the next few centuries and would not be destroyed until Jesus would finally come, which has not even yet taken place. Contrary to the wild speculations of some who falsely teach that Jesus came over 1900 years ago in AD 70 and that he is not coming anymore, the facts are the real and literal second coming of Christ and the judgment are yet future. Now, too, we notice, we do not know when he is coming the second time. Much of Matthew 24 is taken up with the destruction of the city of Jerusalem and the Jewish nation. For that was near and at hand, Jesus said. Now then, in Matthew 25, Jesus begins with the story of the 10 virgins who represent his church or kingdom and who close this parable by saying, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Matthew 25:13. He started this story by saying the kingdom of heaven is like hear this story. And then the foolish virgins, he said, represents those unprepared and lost, turned away at the judgment. But the wise virgins represent those ready to enter into the glorified state of the kingdom, which kingdom is now in existence. Colossians 1:13, Hebrews 12:28-29, Revelations 1:9, and a host of other passages. But in this illustration, Jesus is giving more light on his second coming, which was promised in chapter 24. Then we next have here in Matthew 25 the parable of the talents, verse 14 through 30. The lesson here is that when Jesus comes and judges us, all will depend upon whether or not we have used our talents, or as to whether we shall be cast into outer darkness and eternal punishment, or whether we shall be rewarded as the faithful men who use their talents. Then Jesus more fully revealed the nature of his second coming and the judgment by saying, "All nations shall be gathered when he comes." Matthew 25:31-34. Some, he said, will be as sheep and will enter into the heavenly state of the kingdom. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5-11. And also 2 Timothy 4, verse 18. Others, then, he said, will be as the goats and will be cast into hell fire. Matthew 25:41. This is the final and great judgment at the end of the world. The faithful go into life eternal, verse 46. And the wicked into everlasting punishment, also stated in verse 46. This is the second coming of Jesus, which he was promising in Matthew 24, and now in the same speech more fully illustrated in Matthew chapter 25. This coming has to do with all nations being judged and each individual being rewarded according to his works. Some were sent into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, and others into eternal life. All nations, here gathered and judged, means the same as all nations in the Great Commission in which Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. And so this same all nations, which we are to teach, and so forth, is the same all nations judged at the second coming of Christ, as stated here in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through 34, or 46. But some say Mark's record of the commission says they were to preach the gospel in all the world, and this all ended at the destruction of Jerusalem in A.D. 70. This is not true. Peter says the earth will pass away, or will not pass away until Jesus comes again, 2 Peter 3, verse 10, beginning. This world will continue until we have only the world to come. You remember Jesus said, "Whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoso speaketh against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world," that is the Jewish age, "neither in the world to come," the Christian age to follow, and which would last to the end of this earth, our physical world. Now, the church age is the last throughout all ages, even to the end of the world. Ephesians 3, verse 20-21 says, "Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end." Now, instead of the church age lasting till A.D. 70 or until destruction of Jerusalem, it is to last throughout all ages, world without end. That is, the world will not end until the end of the ages, when all men shall go to their eternal destinies, as is stated in Matthew 25, when Jesus comes again. And so, my friends, we've seen in this study of Christ and the judgment that there is a great judgment day. Jude says in verse 6, "Then the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day." Now the Apostle John says, "The nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth." Revelations 11:18. Then we read other passages in Jude verse 14 and 15. "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoke against him." Friends, Christ came the first time to seek and to save that which was lost, Luke 19 and verse 10. God sent him to save the world. John 3:16-17 says, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." In John 12:47, Jesus said, "I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." But Jesus is coming the next time to judge the world and to punish those who obey not the gospel and reject his word by refusing to obey him. We're told in 2 Thessalonians 1:6-7, "It is a righteous thing, seeing it is a righteous thing with him, to recompense tribulation to them who trouble you. And you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire." Now notice, as he continues here in 2 Thessalonians 1, "When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Paul goes on to say this will be when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe in that day. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 10. And so when Jesus comes, he will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that obey not the gospel, punishing them, as the inspiration says, with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. My friends, this will be when He shall come to be glorified in His saints at His second coming. And Paul said then in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, when he said, "The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Are you ready for that time? My friends, let us live every day and hour of life in view of Christ and the judgment. Let us remember Christ and the judgment and always be ready for His coming and the judgment of the great day.